three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast Grand Final, or is it the Championship Series Edition, whatever they call it. Recording this on Thursday, the 2nd of March, early in the morning. My name is Joseph Corr. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon, who'll make himself known in a second. The topics today, we're going to be going through just quickly, Cairns and Tasmania, they've been eliminated. We're going to look at their rosters going forward. Simon Mitchell, the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. And then, of course, we're going to jump into Kings and Breakers in what we're calling the Grand Final, what used to be called the Grand Final. And what we think and all this Kings preamble before the big game. But before any of that, Andrew Canyon.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm feeling a little chirpy tonight. Just before we started recording, I was actually listening to the song Shallow. You know the one from A Star Is Born?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I quite like that song. People might be surprised to hear that. But I was just looking at the lyrics of the first verse and it reminded me so much of Paul Smith.
Well, because he pisses his pants.
I rarely sing. I rarely sing on a podcast.
Oh, you're not. Wow. Okay.
So should we do this?
I'm not doing it.
I've got no musical accompaniment. I don't have the backing track. I'm just going... Okay, tell me something, Paul Smith. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? Like being the Perth Wildcats? Do you want that success like them? There you go. I'll just stop there.
I got to tell you, I thought that was pretty good. I can feel an applause as each and every person listens to this on the podcast feed. Why is that reminiscent of Paul Smith, you think?
You know, he's got, you look at him, you think he's got everything. Mm-hmm. He owns a team in a big city. He's got the cool shirts.
Repicom for 200 mil.
He's got the money in the bank. Mm-hmm. Could have anything he wants with that kind of cash. I certainly would love to have that kind of money. Mm-hmm. And yet all he does is he goes out there on Twitter, slags people off, cries, you know, sad that everybody's picking on him. It's like, what's the matter, man? Are you really happy in this modern world? You own a team, but do you need more? Do you need more? What are you searching for? Are you searching for the hate? Are you searching for love? What is it you're looking for, Paul?
Well, you know my theory. My theory is it's a three-quarter life crisis where it's only a sports team is just the same as a fantasy team. It's just something to fulfill. Whereas you and I engage with the league when we're sitting on the toilet, you know, they do it a little bit more and just fills those empty gaps. That's what I think. But the team's quite good. Can I ask you this, though? Serious question, though.
Sure.
In regards to Paul Smith, Sydney Kings. Is it the nature of Twitter? Does Twitter just draw out that behavior? Because every time I tweet something, I think it's going to go poorly. And then people quite like it or people respond quite well. Is it the nature of Twitter that just paints it with a veneer of negativity?
Because
you're off the platform. You put a line through it.
Like Twitter itself is a platform of negativity because it's negative in its own right. It's failing badly. I think people like they do – it does encourage bad behavior, doesn't it? Mm. Because you're trying to get – it's like anything social media. You're just trying to get eyeballs. And if people love it or they hate it, it doesn't matter because it's all just eyeballs at the end of the day, right? And everything's disposable. So he'll say that, you know, he says this one day, makes headlines, it goes away. He says something entirely different the next week, makes headlines, goes away.
Mm. The other thing I'll say is that sarcasm and humor plays really poorly on Twitter. You can't tell if a person's being sarcastic or silly. You just cannot. And no. I think there's an element of that with where he would have thought going into it, tweeting about the Kings and whatever with a sort of that larrikin motif. But then when you get on Twitter, it just doesn't translate at all. And now the beast has been fed and it's matured into something, or morphed into something else and something worse. That's what I think. But, I mean, the strategy might work. Game one, the Kings seem to have got a crowd of already 10K plus, which is pretty good.
Okay.
For a Friday night game, Sydney, it's, you know, it's always difficult, this market. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Dominic Perrottet's in. He's thrown in 15 mil for a new facility. Have you seen that?
He's really desperate to win that next election, isn't he?
Lidcombe needs a shot. I don't know if that's a swing seat or not, but he's gone, here's 15 mil. I'm like, 15 mil? That won't buy you that won't make you a lemonade stand. After the dodgy builders take half of it from Tom. Anyway, good luck to him. Good luck to him. But that's there. But anyway, let's put the Kings to one side for a second. Let's go back in time. Simon Mitchell. I got here. Simon Mitchell, Southeast Melbourne coach, former Southeast Melbourne coach. Pushed or walked is my question for you, Ken.
Can it be both?
If you had to pick one, what was more likely?
I think he walked.
Really?
Just.
I'm going to say 70%, 60% pushed, 40% walk.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I think there was an element of like the door was open. Yeah. The carpet, like, or big neon arrows, like, oh, yeah, you go where you want, but oh, what could be behind it? Yeah, sorry, I'm interrupting. What do you think?
No, it's very funny. I'm just imagining, like you say, Tommy Greer just opening the door and saying, please, Mr. Mitchell, just this way.
Did you hear something out the door? Maybe you should go and check. I could check. I think you should.
Yeah. Look, Simon Mitchell. What, like, I'm gonna say, I think everybody's been pretty positive about him, and I'll continue it because he's always been a real gentleman.
Yeah,
he's always been one of the enjoyable coaches of the league and a nice guy. He has always given us time of day, when some of the other participants of the league have not. So I'll always respect him and appreciate him for that.
Mm.
But I think he'd agree. I think his time was done at that club. I don't think there was anything more that he could add. I think they need to. They probably need a bit more of a bastard coaching them, to be honest.
I concur. Yeah.
He's too nice. He's affable. You know, sort of into his rock music. Like he's a cool dude. Yeah. And I think cool dudes don't win NBL championships necessarily.
Yeah. I think he's just done a good. I think just it's a tick of approval from me. And I mean, probably an A mark where they went from franchise club, kind of who are we? What. Who's our fan base? What kind of team are we? To a pretty good spot, you know? Perennial. They've been in two semi... Oh, never mind. Close to finals, which is not easy. It's not. I mean, the Wildcats are a great big club and they're struggling to do the same thing. So they're right on par with them. That's pretty good company. So they're the successes. I think this is just a natural plot in that club's maturation. Would you concur? Yeah,
that's a lovely way to put it.
Oh, thank you. And I think that's it. And I think he can walk away pretty confident and head held high. But at the same time, it's like, okay, now we do something different. And, you know, the style of that club gets geared towards something different.
Yeah.
And I think it's good for both.
Do you know one of the things I heard bandied about the place, Simon Mitchell? I mean, it's never easy to just leave a job because you're leaving behind an income and I'm sure he has a mortgage to pay. You know, he's not getting NBA salary. He's not getting Miller's dollars. So he's got to find a way to make a living. And it was bandied about him getting into media.
You know, now, I think he'd be quite good. He's very talkative. I think he would have to pare down his words some, but he's incredibly knowledgeable about the logistics of basketball. I think he'd be good. What do you think?
Well, the thing that gets me, I think he'd be good, but I do have a concern because now far be it from me because I have – certainly don't have a TV broadcaster's voice, but Simon Mitchell, bless him, but he sounds like he smokes a couple of packs a day.
But is that his charm? Is that his charm?
Let me tell you, Joseph, what we got here? We got them playing a 2-3 defense when really they should clearly be in the man-to-man. Yeah.
You know who Mitchell kind of sounds like? Mr. Clouseau from Monty Python, The Meaning of Life. You know, the big guy goes to the restaurant. It's like, I'll have the lot. Fuck off. And we say that with love.
I love the guy. I hope you only tease a guy like that when you actually like them, you know?
Yeah, of course. And I think he'd have to drop a lot of the ums and ahs between sentences, but he knows the game real well, likable. The likability factor is super high. No, I think he'd be good.
Yeah.
Full stop. I think he'd be good.
Worth having a crack with anyway. What's the harm? I mean, they could try us too, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Hey, you got to be – the other big tick in his favor, that Melbourne locale. He's already he's just down the street, so he's already there. Let's jump onto this. Cairns, moving away from Southeast Melbourne, Simon Mitchell.
Yeah.
Cairns are out. Bit of a, not disappointing, but certainly heartbreaking. They were right in it in that game, and now they're gone. They got beaten by quite a bit. They really, I thought, their season kind of spat out towards the end.
Yep.
They're in a bit of trouble, and I think this is better highlighted on overtime with Santa, Cam, Luke, Corey. Out of contract, here's who they've got under contract, Cairns. They've got Antonio, Wardenburg, Majukdeng, and McCall. Last one is the... We're happy with Antonio, Morton, Wardenburg especially, very good. Majukdeng, handy little piece, sure, local. Why not? But McCall with one of your import slots.
He was good a couple of years ago, but...
And just on their team, stretchy, everyone can shoot, and then he can't. And he had a stinker in that final game. Went like 2 of 17 or something.
And he just tried too hard, like just forcing it.
He was just plowing at the hoop with reckless abandon, and more tact was needed. So that's an issue for them. Here is the problem, though. There's more issues for them out of contract. Listen to this. Mm. I believe Ford's out of contract.
He's not going anywhere.
They'll give him. Mirko Jerick is a mutual agreement. I would have thought they'd let him walk, too injury prone. Ben Eyre is out of contract, but it's a team option. They'll pick that up. But the question is whether they pay him. You know, they could just pick him up. I'm assuming he's on a minimum, but they may have to do the right thing and say, you know, you've become a starter / eighth guy within our eight-man rotation. They may want to not only sign him to that min, but up it in a sign of good faith.
Gold card at Gilligan's.
Gold card Gilligan's, DJ Hogue out of contract, and Scott, their imports. That's obvious, but here's the bigger one. Both Bulquol and Pinder are out of contract, guys who I would have thought have doubled, nay, tripled their value. How do you keep both and not dip into the money you're going to give to your imports?
Yeah, they're a bit of pain. It's like they've gone – I feel like they're probably going to go back to rebuilding again after they rebuilt next year. They can't keep both those guys, can they? Like in terms of Qual and Pinder.
Yeah,
Hogue as well.
So you either kind of pay those two and dip, but how many teams are going to want Pinder? He's a switchy four.
All of them.
Wildcats especially, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think the only team that wouldn't take him maybe would be like Jack Chumpers or something.
Kings, because he doubles up with Cooks maybe.
Sure, yeah. But really, he's got the pick of the league.
And also, let's face it, in Moldovan, an incredibly aggressive client representation who's not going to be like, oh, no, Cairns is a good spot. We'll take 200 grand less. Not going to happen.
Nah.
So they're in a bit. And then Qual is a guy who just shot really well and played D. There's a need for him on every team.
Yeah, he's like a better version of Sunday Desh or Wani Swaka La Bullet kind.
Yeah, agreed. Great,
yeah, better version.
And then Hogue, you know, it was NBL first team. Or was it first or second? First. He's going to want big money. So they're in a bit of trouble.
Yep.
Bit of trouble. Let's move on.
Rest in peace, Cairns. Appreciate your contribution this season.
That's how it is. One good season, then you're down again. And we saw it with Cam Oliver, Machado.
Yep.
Jumping on to Tasmania. Under contract. Listen to this. Listen to who they've got under contract. Roth for like 5 or 6 years.
As long as he wants.
Besto, as in, is it not Cameron? It's Jared.
The guy that didn't play at all this season.
No. McDaniel, who was hurt for a lot of it, and Magne. And that's it.
That's it. Oh, yeah, because they all signed up to 2-year deals, didn't they? Startup.
So that's it. So out of contract of note and of merit, pardon me, is Steindl.
He'll be back.
Ooh, be back. Iffy where you go with him, a lot of injuries. McVay, well, his value's gone up for sure.
Oh, he's not leaving there.
He's not leaving there, but he's going to want more money. I mean, he came off Adelaide where he was cast out of Adelaide. Yes. He's not going to be signing a min deal, I'll tell you that.
No, that's a good point.
Jared Weeks, yeah, nice piece. Not the first one you target in free agency, but a nice piece. Krislovic, he's got value for clubs. I think a lot of teams would look at him and go, oh, do we throw him a bit of money? You know, he could help us off the bench.
Interesting, okay.
Kenyon, Matt Kenyon. Not worried?
Nah. No, like he's fine for Tassie, but I don't see any other club salivating.
And then Majette comes out of contract. The thing is, I don't see a lot of demand for Majette outside of Adelaide. Tasmania. Adelaide could, I think you'd be, I think with Majed, he's a good import, but if you had all that import money and all the possibility of the import dollar and spot, you wouldn't be looking at Majed. I feel like that'd be a, it's not what? A very sexy Ooh. Hire if you're Adelaide and you went and got Majed. I don't see that
what?
Very sexy.
What about Majed to Brisbane? Point guard.
Oh, that's
not very,
actually.
Not very actually sexy, good. But could shoot the three. That seems a bit kind of Brisbane.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. So that could drive up the value. And then obviously White, Kelly, Doyle. Isaac White's one who, has he done enough to get, you know, that little bit more money the, where Tasmania don't match it and they let him walk?
Yeah.
Very interesting for them. More interesting for Cairns, but Tasmania also.
Yeah. A lot of contracts to sign up. They're going to be sure. busy. Wow.
Let's move away from that.
I just want to say, I hope they get Milton Doyle back.
He was really good. He was good. NBL first team. So.
Yep. I really good hope. Play. And I think he fits well with that whole team, and I hope sure. he comes back to them.
Before we talk about the championship series, did you read this thing? It was another article, and I've seen an article like this 2 years ago that was, the NBL's arrived, viewership's up 50%, women are loving the product. The NBL has more followers on TikTok than the AFL. I couldn't believe that when I saw it. And it's true.
I think it's absolutely true. That's the Kai Sotto effect, isn't it?
Well, I'm going to really pump the tires on the league. I'm going to say no. I have a huge amount of respect for the people that make content at the NBL HQ, not the clubs. They're terrible. But the actual NBL HQ, the stuff they put out, those documentaries, the storytelling, you know, it depends on what audience you're going for, but the polish of those is fantastic. Their in-plays are on point. I don't see them ever really putting a foot out of place. I think it's a genuine success where they have made – material that works for the TikTok audience, and it has on its merits got an audience on TikTok. And I think it's a condemnation of the AFL, who've got more money, who should be better, but they're not because they're old thinkers. And if you look at their TikTok, it's embarrassing.
Is it? I don't do TikTok. That's like neither a social do media. I just didn't get on that one. I just like I knew I'd get addicted, so I bailed
but
on it.
The NBL stuff is TikTok specific. The AFL stuff is like, oh, like take some off cuts from a podcast and a bit of Fox footy and chuck it up. That'll be fine. It's clearly an afterthought. And for the NBL, it's not. And for such a small product in comparison, I mean, the AFL has 1 million Twitter followers. The NBL has like 100,000 less. To do that on another platform, it also tells me, I'm sorry, I've been on a rant here.
No, it's, go for it. Rant away.
But what the beauty of it shows me is on TikTok, a platform that's really been around for what, 2-3 years of any substance?
Yep.
On a very equal playing field of just, you know, a entertainment omitter, the NBL has performed well, right? We're not talking about old free-to-air TV where deals have been established for 100 years. We're talking about a brand new platform and they've done well.
Yep.
There's a lot to be said for that. And, you know, in an even playing field, the NBL's shown that it has an audience, had a product. I don't think it's anything to sneeze at. Nick Tan and I often laugh about like viewership reach and all that. We have our fun. Yeah. But this is actually a success story. Anyway, I've spoken a lot. What did you read it and what did you think?
No, I skimmed it. No, it's one of those, like you say, it's the stats that make everything look good. I do worry when the NBL starts to gloat though, because they gloated, you know, back in the halcyon days of the 90s, they gloated about beating the AFL and being the new, and then the AFL said, oh, really?
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, okay. Let us just destroy you. And if they turn their mind to it, they can probably do that once again. TikTok's, I mean, this is the thing. TikTok is such an international platform as well.
Good point.
If you like basketball, you know, like you'll see NBL stuff. But who outside of Australia is even aware that AFL exists?
So I think it's
always going to struggle globally.
It's got novelty factor. Like, wow, what a funky game. But that's where to play well on TikTok. If you show the big hits and just like, wow, what a funky game. Follow, you know, or like, you know, it would find a TikTok audience, I think, internationally. AFL.
I think AFL, if they want to do international stuff, they need to go back to the old tight shorts era.
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing that people internationally thought was great. It's like, oh, look at those dudes in tight shorts. And now they're just dudes in baggy shorts like every other sport. It's kind of lost its uniqueness.
Yeah, I agree.
But the NBL, good on them. Like, yes, pushing ahead. But I still think it feels like they're sort of still like the short kid in the back of the class going, hey, don't forget me. Mm. You know, we're here, we're important. And it's,
also,
it's a little always, bit like cringy. Yeah.
And also always relying on, well, we're up 50%, but I'm always like, well, 50% on what? You know,
yes,
never dealing in raw numbers. It's like, hey, we made a $200% extra profit. Oh, yeah, what was your profit? $10. You know, so it's always relative to that. So that's one thing. The other thing I'll say is this, and here, we've pumped, I'm going to dump a little bit.
Okay.
The NBL, I think in this country, and what I'm seeing now is people saying like, oh, I'm a fan of the NBL. And they'll follow the NBL and look at the highlights, but they're not a fan of a club. Mm. And the clubs are way behind in their in-house media. By far, the stuff the NBL churns out is far superior. Way better. Oh, and just in terms of quality, in terms of volume, all that sort of stuff. So the NBL is just forging ahead where people are just kind of a fan of the league. And maybe that's not a bad thing.
Yep.
But the clubs themselves, and it's an afterthought for them. They're not investing in the same way. And you can see it from some of the people they've hired. I won't go into it because I might get in trouble, but it's just not. So that's an issue as I see it, where the NBL HQ, the league itself, is just far outpacing the clubs.
Yeah, yeah. And the league, I mean, the league is a business in itself. So it needs to do that. It needs to push itself to grow its own revenue and all that kind of stuff. But it needs the clubs to be doing well.
It does.
It can't just go out on alone and say, hey, look at us, we're great, and have these poverty stricken clubs trailing behind. Yeah, look, this is the product the league is selling, you know, these clubs. Aren't they wonderful? And they're actually looking a bit sad. Now you need fresh produce on the store floor.
And that's the thing, the NBL, everyone's like, oh, expansion, and you know, that's obviously Larry's prerogative. That's what's going to make him the most money, build a new stadium and a new team.
Yeah, property deals.
The problem
deals.
is that property deals. That's how he's made his $750 million. But the problem is that when you have a league of 10 teams and two of them stink.
Yep.
Brisbane stink and Illawarra stink. They are anchors on the league. Cut them loose. Get rid of them. You know, you're going to expand to 11 and you got two teams that are dreadful and a total anchor on your schedule. Not good.
No.
Anyway. We've pumped, we've dumped. Let's talk about the grand final. Broad question. We talked about this a little bit before, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the grand final series?
I think I'm like a 3 or a 4, Joe.
Why do you suppose? And do you think that's reflective of just you or the wider?
No, I think it's the wider audience. I think the FIBA break absolutely killed the momentum. Like, there's no doubt about that. Mm. It was sort of like, all. Everything, the season was so compressed and everything was happening quick, and we had who's going to get into the play-in tournament and all that stuff. And then it happened really fast. All that was like, okay, we made the play-in. Now here's the play-in. Now we're out of the play-in. Now we've finished our season. And let's start talking about trade deals and everything, you know, signings and all that kind of stuff. And meanwhile, it's like, do, as they prepare for the grand final series. And I just feel like people have just kind of forgotten about it.
I think certainly people outside of Sydney and New Zealand have. But then again, a lot of people, there was some pretty lackluster semi-final turnouts in Sydney for one, I think a 7,000 person crowd. And the big knock was, wow, it's hard to sell tickets with only a 2-3 day turnaround. Well, now you've had 14 plus.
Yep. Yep.
No excuses now to be selling out those games. Looks like they're going to. New Zealand's already sold out. Having said that, it's only a 6,000 seat arena. But Sydney hasn't sold out yet.
No, and they won't, because they certainly won't for game one.
It's a big arena, 17,000 seats.
Yeah, and like, people save their money for game 3, 4, 5. You know, yeah, that's the tough sell in these. You know, like, that's where you need a team to have a following of 100,000 people. So you sell 15,000 each time, but it's a different. Mm. You know, 5,000 are the same and 10,000 are different people.
Mm.
And it's just, whereas I feel like they're still selling to the same small pool of people. Well, and if those people don't turn up, they don't sell a ticket.
Yeah. And this is when you talk about small pool, and we were talking about TikTok before, and we talked about how the clubs just aren't, I don't think, are thinking in the right space, not thinking in the space of their consumer and audience. And the Kings, I think, do this. They do another thing, a couple of things really well. This one, they don't. I always get tagged in the King's appearances on the Jimmy Smith Drive radio show or some shit. I've never listened to it.
And okay.
Exactly, right? And I'm like, okay, so your product's really for men 15 to 25 would be target audience for
probably. King. Yep.
I can't speak for a lot of male 15 to 25 year olds, but if they're listening to, they don't even drive, most of them, but if they're listening to that radio show, I'll buy you a steak dinner. And yet the Kings are on there. I'm like, don't worry about that. Well, maybe do that, but also in conjunction with whatever, YouTube, TikTok, so on and so forth, which I haven't seen them. I haven't sought out their stuff. So maybe they are on there, but
yeah,
if they're on there, I would know, right? I'm in their target audience and it doesn't hit me.
Yep.
So, and I looked at, you know, how many people listen to that radio show, and at any one time, 60,000 people drop in and out of that show.
Hmm.
I'm like, 60,000, that's a bad performing YouTube video. So I'm like, what? You're not only are you away from your customer and your target audience, but you're not even in a good way. Anyway, that's what I talk about, where NBL HQ has its head closer to the customer and consumer,
yep,
whereas the clubs are, I'll be honest, adrift.
Yeah, they just take what they can get, really.
Take what they can get. And don't get me wrong, do that sort of stuff as well. But also I'm not seeing the other stuff, the focus on the more important stuff. But
yeah,
I'm sure they've got an answer for me.
So what about to the games themselves? You know, the actual teams playing.
Kingsbreakers. I'm going to give you the stats on this one. So the Kings won the season series 2-1. Amazingly winning both of the games at Spark Arena in New Zealand.
Okay.
The Breakers are the best defense in the league. Kings are third. The Kings are the NBL's third best offense, while the Breakers are the league's fifth best offense. Kings are first in pace. Breakers are last. The first three games of the play-in and playoffs were won by the home team. Since then, Since then, it's been a home affair. I can't even read my notes. This is so long ago. This was written 2 weeks ago. Can you tell?
It's late.
Kings are favorites, $1.40. Breakers, $3. 2 week break. They're the skinny on it.
I just want to draw one other little fact to your attention, and it's not my fact. Our friend Buddy Nodge brought this my attention in his
buy article. A copy of his book, yep. Buddy Mills.
Get on board. Also go to his website, buddynodge.com. If you can't, just Google it. Spelling's hard. He mentioned how the fixture is so heavily weighted in favor of Sydney in the way that the flights and the scheduling is such that really the Breakers get no benefit of any particular rest or being the beneficiary of a home game, because they both just have to fly back to New Zealand, play the game, and then fly back out. You know, so there's no, while the venue is home, the idea of resting up, you know, having, you know, being able to prepare properly would be a home advantage. There isn't that. So it was an interesting insight and one I hadn't really considered.
No, I think Buddy may just be sucking up to the Breakers management, who are much kinder to him than the Kings. that'd be my estimation of the man. I did read that. I thought that was quite interesting. You know, 2 week break, Kings get all this time, as do the Breakers, kind of, to, you know, prepare on home court. Let's just jump straight into it. I want to know, who do you think is going to win? Why and in how many games?
Oh, look, I think the Sydney Kings will have to be the strong favourites. So I'll go with the Kings, and I reckon I would like to see it go 3-2, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's 3-1.
Yeah, 4 or 5 games. Yeah. Why do you say that?
Well, I think the Kings will win overall. They've got too many variations in the way they play, I think. Like they'll run the ball, but then they can get output from a number of different guys in different ways. You've got Cooks who could step up. Suarez can have random good games. Point guard, geez, it's late and I've forgotten his name now. Oh my gosh. Walton Jr. Thank you. Sorry. He could have a good one. Whereas I feel with the Breakers, it's all just about how the imports perform.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's all they really got. They got no other guy.
Mm.
And I think that's what it will come down to.
Mm. Would you be surprised if I told you that the only other media I've watched other than this was Overtime. That was a good show. I will say Quick Departure. Homicide. Brought a lot of energy to that episode, but I will say his audio was clipping more than a grandmother with her good scissors on coupon day. He was banging the table. Go and listen. He's clipping his audio. He's too loud into the mic and it's peaking.
The mic. Wow. So that's broadcast 101, man. You can't do that.
You can't. I was like, Corey, love the energy. or drop his mic. I don't know how you do it. Yep. Guy gets loud. Put his lapel mic on his belt. I don't know. You work it out. I'm not in the studio. But his thing was clipping. But that, I believe Liam Santa Maria was pro breakers. Corey was very pro breakers. Cam Luke's decided Kings. Okay. Does it surprise you to hear that you're tipping the Kings, as am I? Are you surprised to hear that the breakers?
I'm not surprised because they're a very good team and they can turn it on. I'm just not sure they can consistently deal with the Kings. Kings just coming in waves, game after game. I just don't see how they can face up to that. They're going to need a lot out of like Barry Brown. And I just think the Kings will bring a level of intensity and they're very confident. Let's say that about the Sydney Kings. They're confident in their own abilities. They got home court. Yeah, I just think they're just better. Like at the end of the day, they've been better all season. They finished on top of the ladder.
And Cook's had this bad ankle, and he's now better.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in here. I think the Kings are definitely going to win it, and I think they'll either do it in four or five games. They either may just snag one on the road where Vasiljevic has, because he's capable. This season, he's only been good in one of 3 to 5 games.
Yeah.
And if he has one of those on the road, I think they win it and they get it done early, but they're going to win their home games. And this is going to sound really tired and lame, and this is a good way to run up clicks on Twitter, but the whistle, the refereeing is going to be so important in this. And for people that sort of home cooking and all that sort of stuff, and the idea that Larry picks up the phone and orchestrates a result.
Yep.
Obviously, I think people are being flippant when they say that, but the whistle is going to be so interesting to see. So interesting to see because you got two teams that play a different pace, right? The Breakers are going to want to slow it down and play real physical. Are they going to be allowed to do that? Mm. Kings kind of want to hedge a bit of both, but mainly want to attack the hoop, go fast. Are they going to be allowed to do that? Foul trouble, so on and so forth. Cooks, he's got a mouth. Will they tee him quick? But the more the thing is consistency over the five games. Is it going to be consistent? Are we going to see the Breakers officiated and not allowed to play rugby tactics in the same way the Kings are? And is it going to happen in both Sydney and New Zealand? That I don't think the refs have been tested as much as they are in this series. I really don't. I think because Brantley plays for fouls on every call. He doesn't have a lot of finesse to his game. He'll catch in the post and just dive into the defender.
Yep.
Are they going to call that? And then are they going to go the other way and not call it? Oh, it's going to be, it could be really brutal. This could be, I hate when a sporting match just gets pulled down into talk about the rest, but this is going to be brutal.
And you got Chris Reid versus
the Kings and Chet and Buford. Right. And that's the thing. And the other thing is, Buford's blow up in the press has got its desired result. Ever since he made the comparison to the All Blacks, this team has been officiated differently. Yeah. In the Breakers, so
yeah.
Buford, I want to talk to you about Chase. We poke fun at the guy.
Totally.
We do poke a lot of fun. Guy kind of blew up. He got thrown out of that Cairns game. I thought when you got thrown out of a game, you got suspended, but he did coach the deciding game. What do you think about him and his behavior and?
He continues to be a loose cannon because I heard, I don't know, was it one of the NBL Today shows? I think I might have heard somebody saying, oh, he got a strategic ejection. Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I don't.
That's gilding the lily, I think. He just lost the plot and got thrown out. He hates Chris Reid. We all know that.
Yeah.
Chris Reid probably hates him. We don't know that. We just presume it. I think that's going to be really intriguing to watch. I don't think Buford will be able to control his temper for 5 games.
I guess, especially against the Breakers, against this type of team.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, he'll lose his, staff.
Biscuits.
He will lose. Yeah, thank you. Biscuits. Mm. He will lose his biscuits at some point. And I'm here for it because I love, that's great television. But he needs to be held to account.
Here's why I'm not into it. We'll see what he gets here. Buford's a very powerful name in basketball, right? The father is exceedingly powerful.
R.C. Cole.
R.C. Buford, you talk about Andrew and Lindsay, Chase and what is it again? What's his father's name? Arcee.
Arcee.
It's a very powerful name in basketball. And I just haven't, I don't know, a lot of, sometimes I quite enjoy Buford's sideline craziness. It is kind of fun. But sometimes I'm like, sort of real wealthy name coming down and beating up on the NBL's lowest rung. Yeah, the refs are easy. What are they clearing for a game? You know, the full-timers are probably on 100K or so. That's not big money, you know, and to beat up on the, to, you know, the refs have served as Buford's body bag or body, punching bag.
Yep.
And I haven't really liked it. Interesting thing is, and this is a departure from the series, but Buford signed a 3-year deal with no NBA out. I believe the last year of his coaching contract is a mutual option.
Okay.
Importantly, over in the US, Greg Popovich, I believe he's about to celebrate his either 74th or 75th birthday, and is out of contract.
Right.
And the question is, Buford see out, will Popovich sign an extra deal? And then Buford can naturally see out his contract, and I would have thought go over there and coach that team in some capacity, head coach or assistant.
Yep.
Or will that be expedited with Popovich deciding at 74, 75 he doesn't want to do it anymore? I think they've done a good job where they've sort of hidden Buford's craziness overseas. They only see the success story. He's served enough of an apprenticeship to take over the Spurs, and they're a dreadful team. So that'd be interesting. Whether they win this series or not becomes irrelevant. But the reffing is going to be really important. Here's what else I've got. Who's got the best players on the floor? There's always a very good benchmark for judging these games. I've got them in this order of best to worst. I think Xavier Cook's best player on the floor. Would you agree?
Yes.
Next best, I've got Walton Jr.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd probably go Brantley, actually.
I don't like the inconsistency.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay. Next, I've got Pardon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bully, that's, man. He's
fair enough. He's strong. Yep.
And then I've got Brown, then I've got Brantley. You quite like that five, or would you make a change?
No, as a five, you know, we can argue about the who should be quite there or that. But yeah, that's fair. It's all the imports, right?
Yes. Cooks is the only local.
Minus Suarez. Oh, yeah, Suarez and Cooks, yeah.
But then the next tier down gets very decidedly Kings, you know.
Yeah.
Suarez. Vasiljevic, I know he's had a down year, but what do you call it when, you know, normally it's a sophomore slump, but he's in his junior, he's in his third year, so it's probably a name for that. But yeah, like your Suarez's, your Vasiljevic's, your Sean Bruce in his role, these guys are just better than
the
Breakers' counterparts, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
Key matchups for me, number one key matchup is Cooks and Brantley. Brantley's a lot bigger than Cooks, and he's troubled him in the past.
Yes.
That's key matchup for me. The other one is, you got something
to say? No, go ahead.
Pardon. Who's going to kind of match up on this guy? Jordan Hunt? Suarez?
Pardon's a bully. Yeah, those two guys. Those are the two guys who will match up. Pardon's going to have fun with those dudes.
For sure.
He's going to be a handful.
And then the other key matchup is Simon on either what's going to be, I would have thought, Brown. But then the big thing on, and they spoke about it on Overtime, and I've seen other players as well, William McDowell-White. William McDowell-White is getting spoken about like the key to this series, and he has played well against it. What do you think of McDowell-White?
Like, he's been solid this season, but I expected more of him, actually.
I concur.
I thought they talked about giving him the keys to the team and all this kind of business. I haven't really gotten a sense of that at all this season. He's been solid and like for an Australian player, really handy, but
totally.
I don't think he's a stud.
I agree. And I'm like, really? He's the key to the series? I've seen his players being kind of up and down at times. He's had a good year, but sometimes in games I'm like, I don't trust this guy. And slight lack of athleticism. And I find that what happens when he's paired up with Simon? And they did a good job of it, exposing it on Overtime. Cairns did what off the pick and roll, they double teamed him or showed, you know, took the ball out of his hands. The Kings do the opposite. They drop back off a pick and roll and invite him to shoot it.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see which way that goes, whether they do more of one or the other and when they do one or the other or what have you. But I just don't know how McDowell-White's going to handle Simon. I think Simon's going to be on him. But then who goes to Barry Brown? So this who they choose to put Simon on, that's the real, more so than Cooks and Brantley, is who Justin Simon's going to lock up, because he can lock up either of them, Brown or
He might just go to whoever's the hot man of the day, you know, like just by circumstance.
I think he'll be Brown. Brown's such a danger, and I've looked at his numbers. Barry Brown's scoring average in the season, 19.7, 47% against the league, against Sydney explicitly, 18.5, 45. So basically the same. I don't think the Kings will be as preoccupied with McDowell-White as T teams are thinking. I think Sean Bruce is so dogged. I think I don't like giving anyone much praise there, but I think that I think he'll be enough.
Yeah, yeah. Sean Bruce, underrated defender. I think he's an overrated trash talker. Underrated defender. I don't know what I'm saying there. He is playing his role perfectly this season. He comes in, he defends, and he hits the open shot. Sean Bruce having a good season.
Barry Brown is the one. Do you think he can? That's the other thing. New Zealand, really, their scoring comes from him, and he needs to have. He's gonna have to play 5 good games in the high 20 yeah. points for them to win. I don't see him doing that.
It's a lot. It's a lot to ask of him.
Heck of a lot. But people out there, if you think the opposite, he's paying $10 to win Finals MVP.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, okay, that's pretty good. Do you reckon? I've got a random question about the final series. Are we going to get a Cam Glidden game?
No.
Okay. NBL Pocket Podcast's own Cam Glidden. We're not going to get that. Okay. No. Short-lived.
No, I'm not. I'm just not going to entertain it. Not going to do it. I just want to say this. Kings' weakness, free throws, turnovers.
Yep.
They miss a lot of free throws. They turn over a lot. But the breakers are not much better. Just fractionally above them in both percentages. So I think it's crazy. I think that... I think the Kings are going to win this series. I'm pretty confident. I'm shocked to hear that people are going on New Zealand. They don't have home court. The schedule doesn't work in their favor. Nah. Kings have got it covered. I'm surprised to see it.
I don't get it. Look at that. See, Paul Smith, we don't hate you.
No, we don't hate you. We don't hate your team. I just want to... final question, statement, thought. I've got one of my own, but you go first.
If you have no, you go. I've got one, but it's unrelated to basketball.
Okay, I will. This is my final thing. Here's what I have. If the Jack Jumpers of last year couldn't beat the Kings playing what was Breakers basketball, right? Slow pace, lots of defense, hit from the outside. How are New Zealand going to do it any better? You know, Brown and Adams are like for like.
Yeah.
Remember how hot Josh Adams was? He was on fire. Barry Brown can play like that. He's doing pretty well. Yep. Harden's an upgrade on anyone that Tasmania had. I'll agree with that.
Yep.
But Brantley's my concern. His moves were crier, a leg up from the officials, and I think categorically he's not going to get it. That's my final statement.
Wow.
Bang. Kings in 4 or 5.
Beautiful. Well, I agree. Kings in 4 or 5. But my final statement,
do it.
As I said, unrelated to basketball. Well, maybe slightly related. Mm-hmm. The NBL Pocket Podcast has a fantastic theme tune. That theme tune put together by Alex Canyon. Alex Canyon, member of the band Voyager, who's going to Eurovision with their single Promise. Now, if you're a fan of the NBL podcast, which I know you are, go.
It'd be unlikely that they'd be here if they were. That'd be strange if they weren't.
But man, they'd be pushing it. You know, 40 minutes of listening to us and they don't like it. Hate listening. But go to look at Voyager's YouTube, Voyager, Promise. It's on all the Apple Music, Spotify's as well. This band, this song is going to Eurovision proper. No, we're not talking Eurovision Australia decides. No.
Forget none of that shit.
None of that. Straight to Eurovision proper.
Straight to Liverpool, mate.
That's right. So we need you to vote for Voyager.
Yeah.
Because Voyager is a supporter of the NBL Pocket Podcast.
And we are supporters of Voyager and Eurovision.
Indeed.
Who's the head of Eurovision, Andrew Canyon?
Voyager.
John Olisand.
What?
Viva la Eurovision. That's the head of the Eurovision. I see, I'm a big Eurovision guy. I can tell you who won it for the last 2 decades. Country with the most amount of Eurovision wins?
Sweden.
It's Ireland. Come on, man. They won 3 in a row in the 90s.
So... My point is, this song is a banger.
It's a banger.
Right. Get on it and support NBL Pocket Podcast by supporting Voyager.
Indeed. Well said. And by the way, Eurovision starts May 9th. So get on board with that.
Totally.
We want to go. If we can get there, we may, Patreons, we may take your hard earned and fly to Liverpool. Oh, dear. You were saying.
Yeah, it's totally related to basketball. It's a worthy use of the money.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I was going to say lastly is, well, the question is, we're coming towards the end of the year. Are we going to do a podcast during the finals? What do you think? Do you even want to do one, or do we just let this play out? Could this be the last of
you asking me?
I'm asking you.
Let's see how we feel.
Talking to you.
Let's see how we feel. Yeah. And I don't know. Do people want to hear from us? Are they listening?
Mm. Is it growing? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think we've got our audience now.
We've got our audience. It hovers around the 350 to 500 at the utmost.
Yeah. And what? 320 of those are bloody freeloaders.
Freeloaders, non-patrons. I hope that the earbuds you've got in right now, there's some sort of electrical short and just the brain just fucking fries, melts out your nose. So that's that. We'll probably come back. If nothing else, we probably won't do one during the finals, but we probably will do one, wrap up the season. They're always kind of fun, and wrap up the numbers of this show and where podcasting's at, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Our plans during the off season. And then in the off season, you will not hear from us. You understand? Don't fucking contact me. Don't send me anything. I don't want to see anything. I don't want to even see anything round like a ball. Don't even send me that shit. Yeah, that's my idol. That's my threat to end the show. You got the last word, final threat?
Oh, yeah, final word. Okay, I'm ready for it this time. I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times, I feel myself. In the shallow. Far from the shallow now.